Open with me to Luke chapter 5. And that those songs really touched me because this is what our message is tonight, is where the Lord is present. And he is present to heal. That's what we can think about. He is present to heal. We say, when? Where? Now, always, he is present to heal. And are we aware of that? That's the question. That's the question. So as we preach tonight, as we open the Bible tonight, let's be anticipating God's presence like we sang. And let's also be anticipating his healing, that he would touch us and heal us in some way. Physically, Lord, heal physically, we pray. Emotionally, mentally, heal us. Spiritually, heal us. Deliver us from little programs that we put ourselves in. God, we want to meet you. Thank you, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Luke chapter 5. Luke 7, verse 17. This story happens, in these 3 years that Christ is walking on the earth, in his public ministry, Christ is healing and he is teaching and he is walking all around this area and he is doing amazing things, healing demoniacs, healing sick people. He's challenging religious people. He is encouraging broken people. All of this is happening. Here, right in the middle of it, in Luke 5, it happened on a certain day. I like that, because it doesn't matter what day. It was a certain day. There is freedom, and there is an invitation in that to say that God is calling us to himself. We say, Lord, it's not Sunday yet. And he says, no, it's a day, though, right? It's a day. It's not 6:30 on Wednesday. No, but it is a day. And at that time, I am calling you. He was teaching. And people were there. But it only describes a certain people. The Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting by. So Christ is teaching. I can assume everybody's there, but these are the people that that Luke is describing. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law. Are these bad guys? No. I think we sometimes give it that picture. That there's like, the Empire or something, Star Wars, like the bad guys, and there's the good guys. Even though I don't understand that actually. But like maybe sincere men in this group too. These teachers that have been teaching and anticipating this time, and they are looking for these signs, actually. You read through the prophets, and there is a thing they say to look for the healing of the blind, look for the healing of the lame, and there is someone significant there. So they are looking. Nicodemus is one of these men. He's a Pharisee, and he is looking, and he comes to Jesus in John 3. And he says, I think I'm on to you. But here, so they are here. But also we do see that there are bad guys in this mix, because in the crucifixion, they are the ones who are spurring the event. They are cheering it on. They are stirring up the crowd. But also they are sitting by. And they had come from every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Who are them? Well, it's the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. It says it right there. They could say, but we're the good guys. We're the guys that people call in when they need to be healed. We're the ones that they call in when they need to be blessed or ceremonially cleansed or something. We are the good guys. We're good. Now look outside the doors. Those are the bad guys. They just walked in and sat down to my left, right? They're the bad guys. Welcome back. And they need it, Lord. I wish, have you ever been in church and you're thinking, I wish this person was here to hear this, right? They really need this. Turn it up, right? But are you hearing it, right? Because it says that the power of the Lord was present to heal them. On a certain day, there are certain people there in the room, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. I'm not saying this is wrong, but I'm just saying sometimes we get in this thought, I wish that person was here to hear this. They could really benefit from it. Meanwhile, I am in need of healing, and the Lord is there. He is present. There is power there, and it could touch me. And I can say, well, I'm good. I'm good. Well, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, and it searches the inward parts. In the Proverbs, whatever says that, 17 maybe. Right? It is we could say, Lord, I'm good. And we could say, no, the power of the Lord is present. And where the power of the Lord is, anything could happen. Even he could reveal something to you. Where you are needing him, you are needing a touch, you are needing encouragement, you don't know that you are harboring something, that there is some resentment or there is some unforgiveness or there is some pain there that you don't know. But in the Lord is present, he could bring it out into the forefront and you could be healed. We need this. I was going through the Gospels also thinking of similar stories. When was the Lord present and people didn't know it? Genesis 28, I know that's not in the Gospels, right? Genesis 28, Jacob is out in the wilderness and it said he wakes up from a dream and he says, the Lord was here and I didn't know it. Oh, wow. What do we say about that, Jacob? I'm sorry I missed it. But also, how about the understanding that I did miss it? That's like, that could almost be encouraging. Like, oh, at least I am somewhat aware that the Lord could be present with me. And I'm thinking that I could next time be there for it. There's this story in Luke chapter 24 when the disciples are leaving Jerusalem. Remember the two disciples? They're going to Emmaus. And on the way to Emmaus, some guy just pops up and starts a conversation with them. And then he leads them and he calls them fools. Remember, he says, you fool, you slow of heart. I can't believe it. You are saying that you believe something, but you are acting in the complete opposite of that. Like, come on, guys. And then it says they get to a certain place. And it says in Luke 24:28, it says that he indicated he would have gone further. So like they get there and he goes, okay, guys, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep going. Are you ready to just let me pass by? Are you ready for me to walk out of this day, this certain day without really drawing anything out of me? And it says that they actually like begged him to stay. Verse 29, they constrained him to stay. Still not completely understanding, but like grasping him somewhat. And then it says in verse 31, their eyes were open. They realized who it was and they turned around and they went right back. But that idea that like the Lord is there and he's kind of like, he's walking with us. And then he's saying like, is that all you want from me? Or do you think there's more? Like, are you satisfied with the way the things are? Or would you like to, like, constrain me and, like, pull me back and say, Lord, you are present and I want a healing? Matthew chapter 8, there's the storm on the sea. They're all on the boat. Jesus is on the boat with them. Where is Jesus? He's sleeping. The back of the boat, he's sleeping. When the waves are going, whoa. Like I get seasick just reading this passage, right? Like it is terrifying. What do? They go to Jesus. They wake him up. And he says, you fools, again, where is your faith? Come on, guys. Where are you? What are you thinking about? And he like gets up, he kind of stretches a little bit and he says, all right, take it easy out there, storm. And it stops. That's it. It's over. They see something of him. But there is some, they go and they grab him. Like, that's it. Like, the disciples on the road to Emmaus, they constrained him to not continue. The disciples go down to the boat and they get, and maybe in fear and not grasping the what he is able to do, but still going to him. Like there is an impossible thing in front of us and we have no one else to bring it to. We are terrified. We are overwhelmed. We think we're going to die. That's what they say to him in Mark 8. They say, we are going to die. And his answer back, he is in essence saying, how can God die? This is what he says. He says, guys, I'm on the boat with you. I am the Lord incarnate. Can I die? Like, am I going to drown in a puddle? No. And then he shows them who he is. There's a revelation in it. And he shows them what he is able to do. And their faith is built. Right? Matthew 14 is in Mark chapter 6. Both of these passages tell the story of Jesus walking on the water. In Mark chapter 6, it says that he came to them walking on the sea. Mark 6:48. He came to them walking on the sea, and it says he would have passed them by. He would have passed them by. How many times in the storm of our life has Jesus passed by? I don't know. Maybe every day. I don't know. Maybe every moment he is passing by, waiting for us to engage with him. I don't know. But it says, it's just such a curious line, he would have passed them by. It wasn't like he was just walking on the water and just, you know, happened upon them. He was on the mountain praying by himself and he knew they were in trouble, so he went out to them specifically, but he would have passed them by. And it says that they saw him and they were terrified. They weren't sure who he was or what he was able to do, but they saw him. And as soon as they saw him, he turned to them. Interesting. It says, as soon as they saw him, he came to them and said, don't be afraid. No, don't be afraid. Okay, yes, you looked at me. Now continue looking at me. You are terrified right now. I get it. But look, hey, I'm here. What's Peter's response? Matthew 14, Peter's response is, Lord, if that's you, oh, command me to come out and walk on the water. Command me. Not like suggest something to me, give me a possibility, but no, tell me what to do, Lord. Like there is a storm. We will be overrun by it. We're going down, but you tell me what to do. And if you say it, I'll do it. Jesus says simply, come. Peter steps out of the boat and walks on water. Has anybody done that? You tried. Right under. Like this is not natural. This is outside of the course of things. But it happened. And the result is in Mark 6:51. Says they were greatly amazed beyond measure and they marveled. This is the result. All of these stories, the Luke 24 with the disciples, they went back marveling. Mark chapter 8 with the calming of the sea, they are marveling at who he is. Here, Peter walks on water, Jesus calms the storm, they are marveling at what he can do. Why? Because he was present and he acted outside of the course of things, but he was present. And where he is present, nothing else matters except for what he can do. Right? Imagine Jesus says it to Peter, come out, come. He says, but I don't have my life preserver on. I don't have a Coast Guard approved life jacket on. I have his boat. And he says, okay, then I'm going to keep walking. I'm going to keep going. I love you. I'm here for you, but I'm going to continue to move. But right now you have the option to step out of the boat. And he did it. It's amazing. So back in Luke chapter 5, we see that there are these Pharisees and teachers of the law. And they are sitting by and they are observing and they are listening. And I am thinking, we spoke last week about liberty and legalism a little bit last Wednesday night. And as I read this, I saw a picture of legalism sitting by and waiting for things to add up, waiting for things to make sense, waiting for the thing to be justified before I take the step of faith, right? Or before I can have joy in my salvation, I need to do X, Y, Z. before I really like let loose and walk in liberty and be free as a believer, then I need to or someone else needs to All right, that's a good one, isn't it? You are keeping me from being the believer God wants me to be. I say to my wife all the time, you're holding me back, babe. No, she isn't. She's kicking me ahead, drop kicking me. But no, we could have that idea. What is that? It's natural. It's natural thinking. And it will not get me out of the boats. It will not turn me back to the place of joy. It will not turn me back to Jerusalem. It will not put me down into the bottom of the boat where I'm shaking Jesus and saying, I'm freaking out here. This is not good. And he says, okay, good. Thanks for waking me up. Right? And really, like, is he sleeping or is he just sitting there, like, one eye open, watching them scatter around the boat like madmen, right? Just kind of laughing. He's present, and he is awake, and he is aware, and he is willing, and he is able to heal. So that could be that, like, legalism or this, like, kind of, like, constructed program leaves me sitting by waiting. And it says in this place that the room is full of people. It's full of people. And so filled with people that nobody can get to the feet of Jesus. Right? And they're all sitting by. But then there are a couple other guys with a broken friend. And it's amazing to hear. Then behold, verse 18. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring and lay before him. Why did they seek to bring him before Jesus? Because they knew that he could heal. He was present and he could do it, so they would bring him. But imagine if, like, you show up to Christ and you say, there's like a crowd of people around. And like you try every like avenue, no. Or even like in your faith, you were trying, you were pursuing Christ, but there are these obstacles in front of you, like a windstorm, a physical healing, what else? Like doubt, like the guys in Luke 24, they were walking away in some kind of doubt. They doubt, so I don't bother. I came, the door was blocked, so I just left. But what do we do about that? Is it like, well, it was a good try? Is that really seeking? Is that really constraining him? Is that really getting to the presence of Christ? I don't know. Maybe not. These guys wouldn't be turned away. They wouldn't be distracted. They wouldn't be, turned like, okay, so here's some broken guys. And then around who is blocking the way, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, right? These guys know what they're doing. And if you're supposed to just be sitting still looking at someone right now, then we won't do anything. We won't go any further. We'll just drag this guy back home, put him back on his cot and whatever. Sorry, we tried. Sorry. I'll pray for you. But there is more. Verse 19. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up. They went up. Oh, I like this. When I can't find my way to the presence of Christ by my own way or by my own little program or construct, what do? I go up. I go up. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. Seek those things that are above. Why would I seek something that is above? Because that's where Christ is seated. And where he is, there is the power to heal. I want to go up into the presence of God. When I'm looking at my life and trying to think through it and trying to think through the difficulties and the obstacles and the waves and the unpassable waters, right? Like I can't get from here to there because there's water in the way. And he's just saying, well, I am present. What's water? And he said, could I walk on it? And he says, you could. And we say, well, I don't have my life jacket. He's like, no, you don't. It's going to be like very interesting. It's going to be unstable. You're not going to be used to it. It could be that you take your eyes off of me and you go bloop, 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 bloop. But I'll pull you right back up. Don't worry. Come on. Come on. They step out. Like these guys are going up. They say, well, the Pharisees, if you can see the Pharisees are sitting there and they see him coming, they're like, oh, those guys. There's that guy again. They can say, well, we've all prayed for him and there he is. He's still lame. So obviously it's his problem. Like we've done everything we could for him, but hey, obviously you guys, you know, more work to do. No, go above that. Go up and over that. Go up and over the natural reason. Go up and over the shame. Go up and over the judgment. Go up and over all that stuff. Rip the roof open and plop yourself right down in front of Jesus. Find a way. Right? But the way to do it is by going up. Like I could spend so much time and energy trying to wrestle with the natural courses of things, right? Have you seen these bridges they build out into the ocean? Like the floating docks they build out into the ocean? It's amazing. Pastor Chris Armin is a surfer and he was like wanting one so bad. They showed these guys, they pulled this floating dock way out into the middle of the, past the breakers into the big waves. And these guys with their surfboards running off of the edge and just going right into an unbelievable wave. It's so cool. Right? It's so cool. But how much time will it take for me to engineer something that can get over this water when I could go up? And Christ is there and he can heal. He can deliver. He can touch me. He can say a word and I am changed. And I say, look at that. The whole thing that was holding me back all this time, it was nothing. It wasn't even in the equation. I didn't even have to stress over it because I went up. I don't have to fight through the thing and justify myself. Imagine the Pharisees are lined up like a gauntlet and they have the law out and they say, okay, here you come, paralyzed man, 2-3 friends, okay. Nope, can't make it. Did you come in contact with a dead animal? Okay, you're toast. All right, you're done. Did you step on something on the way here? Yep, nope, you're over. No, you are not allowed. You are not allowed. And I could find, I could negotiate my way through this. There's always a way in legalism. There's always a way to justify yourself. Or I could go up. I go up. These guys went up on the housetop and they let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst of Jesus. How's your house insurance, right? How is it? And when they do that, he sees the man obviously right in front of him. He looks up and he sees the friends like looking down through the hole and he says, your sins are forgiven. Oh, what do you mean my sins are forgiven? I came to get my legs healed. Well, what's the difference in a sense? What's more difficult for me to do? And this is the reasoning that the Pharisees begin to reason saying, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Like they're saying, he can't do that. He can't do that. No. You're not allowed to do that. No, you can't. Yeah, this guy needs, there's a checklist that he needs to go through. Like we are here to protect you from people like him and we will, you know, blah, 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 blah. You can't do that. And Jesus' answer in essence is, why not? Why not? What are you, I am present to heal. What are you telling me I can or can't do? What is a bigger healing, that your sins would be forgiven or your physical body be made whole? I would say the sins being forgiven or is a bigger thing. But then as if just so I can, he says, just so you know who I am, I've already forgiven his sins. Now I tell you, take up your bed and walk and get on. Go ahead. You're free. Go in liberty. Go and enjoy the thing that I have done for you. He says it, verse 24, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. Go to your house. Go to the place that you have. How do you think his walk home was that day? When I am limited and I am stuck in a rigid, like, legalism, we'll just keep using that word because we've been, right? When I am stuck in it, like, I don't enjoy the way home, maybe, right? It's like,
I gotta bop.
And then picture this guy, he's lame, he can't walk, someone's carrying him, someone's dragging him, right, whatever it is. And there are things along the way that he would like to enjoy, but he doesn't have the freedom to enjoy them. Like the markets, like maybe there's a pet shop, he wants to go pet a puppy or something. Like, I don't know, like there is just stuff along the way that he is limited from and he doesn't have the freedom in. But now Jesus says, go to your home. Go the way you always go, but this time it will be radically different. And he's like, while he's carrying his bed, he's like, oh, I have the freedom to go over here. Oh, the guys who carried me never bothered. They said we didn't have time. And I don't want to dog those guys because they did rip open a roof and put him through it. But I'm just saying, like, he is at liberty and he is on his own with in the presence, like he's coming out of the presence of God and he is healed and he has liberty and he says freedom to check out whatever he wants to on the way home. Like, that's different. When I meet Jesus, my life is changed. Sal said it to me the other day. I love the way he said it. When I meet the grace of God, it's like getting hit by a Mack truck. You will be different, right? Like if you physically get hit by a truck, your body will be different. When I meet Christ and I am really with him, I will be different. It rearranges things like a truck would rearrange your bone structure, right? The grace of God rearranges me and spiritually I'm different and I go along the same path that I always go, but everything is so different. Like, oh my gosh, I have liberty. I have freedom. And I'm going to check out this and that. I'm going to walk in the light. That's 1 John 1:7. Walking in the light. And it's not like the beam of light, but it's the light. Meaning the light of God. And he says, go and discover everything that is in the light, all of your freedoms. That's Christianity. That is faith. Not this like narrow path of what I am allowed to do and not allowed to do. That's like the legalistic way to approach things. But it's like coming out of the presence of God, refreshed and joyous, and there is everything before me. And I could say, oh, there's that thing I used to do. And I say, well, why would I do that? I've come from the presence of God. I don't even need that. So it's not like, I'm not allowed to. Ooh, I can't even look over there. No, it's like I look over there and say, that is nothing compared to the presence of God. That is nothing compared to coming down through the roof as a broken person and walking out carrying my limitations, and they are now subject to me. I am not subject to them. He's carrying his bed. Right? The bed, like he is not bound to the bed, but the bed is like under his authority now. That's the way we are also when we meet the grace of God. What's the result? They were all amazed. Who are they? The Pharisees and the teachers of the law, the friends looking through the roof, anybody else who knew this guy before, who had thrown a little change in his bucket, who has never seen him walk, now they are seeing him walk and enjoy every sight along the way. They see it. And they are filled with fear. Oh, let's see, they were amazed, they glorified God, and they were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. Noah asks me every day, how was your day, Dad? It's like this awesome little interaction, right? Riley does it too. I feel like I talk about Noah a lot more. And I was thinking about that the other day, and it's because, like, yeah, I have a whole theory on it. I don't care if you probably don't care. No, I was just thinking, like, my daughter is my daughter, right? And, like, she is, like, the perfect little angel. And, like, she's mine. But Noah is just like a wild man and everybody knows him and you can all enjoy him. But Riley's like, she's mine. She's special. Right? But I love Noah too. But anyway, how was your day? Yeah, right? Just so you don't get worried. Right? Nobody calls DCS. We have seen strange things today. Noah, how was your day, Dad? Riley, Noah, how was your day, Dad? I've seen strange things today. What do you mean? Well, I talked to somebody about the grace of God. I was on evangelism. Or I was at a nursing home and I spoke to somebody. Or I was at a funeral and I saw a family that was very sad. Or I was at a wedding and I saw a family that was very happy. But what I'm seeing in all of this is I want to see the presence of God, and where the presence of God is, there is the power to heal. And it's strange. Why is it strange? It's strange because I shouldn't be able to walk on water. It's strange because I've never seen someone quiet the seas. It's strange because there are things happening outside of my little construct, outside of my little religion, outside of the way life works, the laws of the universe, everything. Strange things. This guy walks on water. Can you imagine the disciples? They go home and they say, "Babe, Peter walked on water." They're like, "Okay, I know Peter's crazy, but come on now. Come on. No, he walked on water. I've seen strange things today." So what I'm saying, here is the message right here. There is a critical moment in our life. And this is verse 18. This is the critical moment. Verse 18 and 19. When they couldn't get in, what did they do? Critical in our lives, these critical moments, when I can't get there on my own, what do? I go up. I go up. You know who sees it? Heaven sees it. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says there is a great cloud of witnesses, and they are looking in. They see it. Who are they? They are everybody around. The Pharisees see it. The teachers of the law see it. Jesus sees the faith. Everybody is there, the good, the bad, and everyone else, they all see it. And they are amazed, and they see something, and they walk away saying, "I saw something strange today. I saw a guy with joy. I saw a guy with joy. He shouldn't have joy. I've heard of what happened in his life. He shouldn't have joy, but he did. How could he have joy? Because he went up. Right? I saw someone forgive somebody. That doesn't make any sense in the way the world works. That doesn't make sense. No, you can't do that. You're making yourself vulnerable. You're making it like whatever. Blah, 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 blah. But I saw a guy forgive a guy. And it was strange to me because I'd never seen that in this world. But also it intrigued me and it drew me to God. And then like what happens to people who see it? When you go up in this critical moment, in this critical time, when you go up and you meet Jesus and you come walking with liberty back into life, people look and they say, "Whoa, it's different. That's different. That's strange." But you know what they begin to do? They begin to look. Right? They begin to look around. Maybe I am missing the presence of God. Maybe I could search for him. Maybe I can go down into the bottom of the boat and shake him a little bit. Maybe it's me that I have missed him. And he has been there the whole time. Maybe I could ask him, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" Imagine that. Have you ever sat by saying, "God never tells me to do anything"? And he's just sitting there saying, "Well, you never asked me what I wanted you to do." Like, isn't that funny? Like, you could look at your kids and be like, "What are you doing?" They'd be like, "No, nothing." They're like, "Why don't you do that?" Like, "You didn't ask me to do it." Like, "Oh, that's simple." Like my faith, am I that way where I'm just sitting there like waiting for God to tell me something? Like I'm just sitting there? I'm like, "Well, I guess he doesn't do that kind of thing." And he's over there just saying like, "Hey, ask me. Ask me." And Peter says crazily, Peter says, "Lord, this might sound radical, but if I could walk on the water too, I'd like to." And he's like, "Oh yeah, come on, come on, come on. I was just waiting for you to ask." And we're over here and we say, "Lord," we see the obstacle and we're like, "Oh, no, not even close." And God's right there. And he's saying, "No, I'm right here. Ask me, ask me, ask me. Go, 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 go. Ask me. I want to do it. I want to do it. I want to do it. Will you ask me?" And we come up to him and say, "Lord, will you help me?" And he's like, "Oh, I'll help you. Gladly. I'm ready." So people see that. And then people can begin to look for Christ themselves. These critical moments are observed. And when we take a step of faith in it, we don't know what could happen in someone else's life. That's the body of Christ. We are all here and we have all gone through these critical things weekly, daily, whatever it is. And we come back and we say, "I saw something strange." We all went to Manchester last weekend. And we say, "I saw something strange. I met two young guys, 20-something years old," right? And they, you know, I saw them coming and say, "Well, you know, I know what these guys are like, right? They fit this kind of mold," and I put that kind of little picture on them. And I said, "Hey guys, and you got a minute to talk?" And they said, "Yeah, whatever." I said, "Do you know the John 3:16? And one guy said, I just read John this week. was like, why are you doing that? Like, I was surprised. I'm like, why would you do that? And he said, well, I met a friend, and he said, I was going through something, and I talked to my friend about it, and he pointed me to Jesus, and he said, it changed my life. So I read Matthew last week, I'm reading John this week, and I'm looking for Jesus. And the other guy came out a little bit, and he said, no, Jesus changed our lives. Something's happening. God changed our lives. And I'm like, wow, really? And they went up. I was, wow, that's amazing. So let's go up in our own lives. Let's go up in our thoughts about people. Let's go up in our marriages. Let's go up in our school. Let's go up. Let's go up and let's meet him. Let's read these verses in closing in Colossians 3, 1 and 2. 3, 1 and 2. That's wow. Let's see if it happens. Here we go. If then you were raised with Christ. That's not to introduce doubt, but that actually is a question that introduces security. It means if and you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. Why would I seek the things that are above? Because Christ is there, and he is sitting at the right hand of God as your advocate, as your representative. So set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Then he goes on, verse 12. Therefore, all right, based on that death and your new life, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, it's a great sentence, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has complained against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also do. Right. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. And that could be an obstacle. That could be the water in front of you that you cannot pass. And you could say, nope, impossible, can't do it. Right. Can't do it, won't do it, don't want to do it. And he says, well, step on out into the water. Go up, seek the things that are above, and then go out and see that you can navigate those things. And because God is doing it, he is present, he can heal, he will do it. Oh. Amen? Amen. Lord, thank you for leading us into your presence, Lord. Thank you for challenging us with your love and your care for us. And just pray for anybody here or listening online or later, anybody who is needing healing, Lord, we lift our hands to you and we trust you, Lord. We know that you can do it. You can heal us physically. You can heal relationships. You can go further than we could ever imagine, Lord, and you can do greater things. So we ask, God, that you would do it. Where you are here, we are here in your presence, seeking you wholeheartedly, Lord. In our hearts, in your heart, you could ask him something specific. You could ask him to lead you in that thing, like Peter did. God, thank you. Heal, deliver, give us liberty. Readjust us with your grace, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.